great worship today. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. On December 13th, I received an email from Mike Schrage at Good News Productions out of Joplin. And in that email, he was telling me that they had a 24-minute video on TV that they wanted to show all across the land of India. And this 24-minute video was basically the story of Jesus, including the Christmas story, of course. And they estimated that 40 million people would see this video. And they wanted to know if Reinhardt Christian Church would be willing to sponsor the cost of that particular project. And when I read that, I thought, wow, what an opportunity. And certainly that would be something that I was interested in, and I would talk with our people here, our leaders, about investing money to support that project. The cost of that project was $4,050. Little did I know that on that same day, December 13th, around the noon hour sometime, I would receive a phone call that my mom had collapsed at her home there in Joplin and had been taken to the hospital. And the next morning, she would get a diagnosis of brain cancer, and 2 weeks to the day later, she would be dead. And so, needless to say, my mind was consumed with what was going on with her for those next 3 weeks. But I had not completely forgotten about Mike Schrage and his request from Good News Productions. I called Mike after the first of the year and found out from him that the program had been aired in India three different times on national TV, December 23rd, December 24th, and then on Christmas Day, December 25th. I asked Mike if anyone had picked up the cost of airing that program, and he said no. He said they'd paid for it out of their general fund there at Good News Productions. I said, let me see what we can do at Reinhardt, even though it's already passed. The video has been shown. We've got a board meeting tonight, I said, and let me talk with our guys and see if we can support that project for you and reimburse you what you have paid. So that Tuesday night, this last Tuesday night, our board met, and our elders and deacons very much were on board with covering the cost of that programming. I mean, where else can you find an opportunity for $4,050 to get the message of Jesus to 40 million people? It was a great opportunity for us, and our fellows were glad to support that with money that you give. Your giving here makes that possible, and we praise the Lord for that. That was Tuesday night that we committed $4,050 to that project. Not even 12 hours after that meeting, Elijah, that morning, Wednesday morning, opened the mail, opened an envelope from somebody, and inside the envelope was a $5,000 check that somebody was giving to the church here as a year-end gift. And it was just a reminder to me, and I think it should be a reminder to all of us, that when we get on board with God's kingdom and we are giving of our finances to God's kingdom, we can never outgive Him. Amen? I mean, he's far ahead of us. That check was in the mail before our meeting happened. Now, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says, when we give to the Lord of a tithe, we give a tithe to Him, He will open up the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing until it overflows. And I have found through the years that as we shovel our blessings to Him through our giving, He shovels his blessings back to us, and his shovel is a whole lot bigger than our shovel. And we need to remember that. His blessings, too, they come in all different shapes and sizes. I'm not saying, I don't want you to go ahead or go out these doors and say that Kevin's saying every dollar we give, he's going to give a dollar back or more. No, I'm just saying he gives his blessings, and his blessings far outweigh anything that we could give to him. I hope that you experience his blessings in this new year of 2019. We are in Matthew chapter 13 today, and in our text, Jesus is going to give to us a very familiar teaching. And though it is familiar to us, a lot of us, I think definitely there are some things that we can be challenged with. Throughout this chapter, Jesus is teaching in parables. A parable is simply a story or an illustration that will help the hearer understand what he's saying. So often, Jesus would use things from everyday life. In this case, he references a sower who is sowing seed. It makes you wonder if even while he's preaching, that one could look across the countryside and see a farmer who's sowing his seed in the fields. Basically, chapter 13 of Matthew is a sermon that Jesus preached. If you have a red-letter Bible like what I do, you see a lot of red letters, a lot of red print in Matthew chapter 13. That's because Jesus is preaching this sermon. And again, I can't think of anything better to study than to study Jesus in his life and his teaching. Let me read to you Matthew 13, verses 3 through 9. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Could I emphasize to you verse 9? Just as it's on the screen behind me, could you read that? Just, "He who has ears, let him hear." Almost hesitate to go down this road because I'm knowing what's going to happen. As I ask this question, there's going to be a bunch of women doing this to their husband. And I'm just glad I'm up here out of reach from my wife. And so, fellas, I'm warning you ahead of time. How many of you wives have ever said something like this to your husband? "Are you listening to me?" Let me see your hands if you've said that. Okay. I know my wife's hand was the first one that went up. "Are you hearing what I'm saying?" I don't know how many times I've heard her say that, and she said so many times, "How can you hear that radio broadcast? You hear every word that they have to say about that ball game, and it's full of static, and you can't even hear what I'm saying, and I'm sitting right next to you." I tell her, "If you would just stop mumbling, I would hear you better." But that doesn't set too well. All of us need to become better hearers of God's word. Jesus said, "He who has ears, let him hear." The New Living Translation treats that verse this way: anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. The Message says it this way: are you listening to this? Really listening? And this is Jesus speaking, and this is how the different Bible translators have treated this verse. Jesus is preaching a sermon, and he's saying, are you listening? Are you really listening to what I'm saying to you? Interesting, in the first 23 verses of this chapter, the word hear or hearing shows up 14 times. Jesus is emphasizing the importance of hearing his word. What good is his word going to do for us if we don't hear it? I noticed Ethan, as he was praying there, he said, Lord, help us to hear what Kevin has to say today. And hopefully what I'm saying to you is directly from this book right here and what the Holy Spirit would have me to say to you. But his prayer is very good. Lord God, would you help us to hear from you today? Would you help us to hear what you have to say to us? And we need to understand that it's more, in Jesus' mind, it's more than just words going into our ears. It's you and me listening with our hearts open, and we let that word penetrate our heart, and then we seek to act upon that word. We seek to live it out. We need to have an ear for the Word of God. I don't think I've told you this, but it's something that happened right towards the end of my mom's life, and I will never forget this. It was sometime on, I think it was Wednesday, because our family was talking. I was wanting to make sure that the timeline was right before I told you this story of what happened. But it was on Wednesday we decided that late afternoon, probably early evening, that my mom went to sleep due to the brain cancer. And all that evening then, and through the night, and Thursday morning into the noon hour, she was just sound asleep and not waking up. And Rebecca, my daughter, in fact, Rebecca and Luke are here today, and we weren't expecting that. Luke had a wedding in his family in the Joplin area yesterday and couldn't get home through St. Louis yesterday evening. You know, I'm so glad that snow kept them here, and they're enjoying worship with us today. But Rebecca had bought a plane ticket to come back for one purpose, and that was to see my mom. She and my mom were really tight. They had a very special relationship. And when the news had come to her in Indiana that my mom was diagnosed with brain cancer and dying, she bought a plane ticket to come and see her. And she brought little Judah with her, who's 1 year old. And Judah, of course, was very special to my mom as well. And so they were coming in on Thursday. And so Wednesday night and then Thursday morning, as she arrived in Kansas City, I was talking to her and I said, I don't know if you're going to get anything out of my mom at all. She's asleep. And I don't know that you're going to get any response from her. And so she came in with Judah after the noon hour. It was probably 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday that she came in with Judah, and I was there, and I was so glad that I was there to see this, because she sat on my mom's bed and little Judah crawled up to my mom, just got right in her face and was making sounds, and you know, obviously my mom could feel him there, and she woke up. She woke up. She hadn't been awake for probably, 20 hours or so, and she woke up, and for a period of time, she was back to had that glow on her face, and she was smiling and she was laughing. She really wasn't talking, but she was fully awake and understanding who was there to see her. And little Judah was right there on her chest, and she was kissing on him and loving on him. And we're all just standing back in shock. We couldn't believe that this happened. And I said, well, we know who rates now. You know, Judah's up here and we're somewhere down here. And probably for 25 to 30 minutes, she was awake and alert with us and enjoying her great-grandson. And when they left the room, she went back to sleep just that fast. It was definitely a treasured moment that we will never forget. And I was thinking as I prepared this sermon, what if we could have ears to hear the voice of Jesus as my mom had ears to hear Judah's voice? And that we would wake up when he speaks and say, Lord, what is it you're saying to me? What do you want me to hear? What do you want me to do? God, I my heart is yours. My life is yours. I'll do what you want me to do. It's important that we be able to identify each of the things in this parable and what they mean. The sower is the messenger of God who's sowing the seed of God's word. That's you and me. We're the messenger. We're the sower of God's seed. And of course, the seed is the word of God. We are to scatter the seed everywhere we go. The four soils represent the hearts of people. Sometimes the word of God falls on people who have a hard heart, much like the pathway soil. And then there's the rocky soil, and then there's the thorny soil, and then there's the good soil. For a moment, I'd like for us to look at all four soils. First of all, the pathway soil, or the hard soil. The King James calls it the wayside soil. You've seen a pathway that has a lot of foot traffic on it. It's hard. It's beaten down. It can almost be like concrete. And if seed falls on that kind of soil, it has no chance of growing. It's just going to lay there. It would be like you or I taking some grass seed and throwing it on the concrete pad out here under the canopy. Seed's not going to grow on that concrete pad. It's too hard. And likewise, seed is not going to grow in the heart of this hard soil, this pathway kind of soil. If that's the kind of heart we have, the seed of God's word is not going to grow on that, in that heart. And eventually, the birds will come and snatch up the seed that has been planted. Now, who are the birds in this parable? The birds are Satan, the devil. The devil, he comes and he snatches away the word of God from you so that it cannot have its effect on your life. Well, who are those that could be compared to the pathway soil? Let me read to you from verses 18 and 19 of chapter 13, as it gives us a little more insight into this parable. Jesus, a little bit later, explains the parable to his disciples. And verses 18 and 19 says this. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road." And so, from my understanding, this person who has the hard heart, this is not the person who doesn't understand the Word of God, but it's the person who won't understand the Word of God. Let me read to you from Barclay's commentary about this particular passage. There is the hearer with the shut mind. There are people into whose minds the world has no chance of gaining entry than the seed has of settling into the ground that has been beaten hard by many feet. There are many things which can shut a man's mind. Prejudice can make a man blind to everything he does not wish to see. The unteachable spirit can erect a barrier which cannot easily be broken down. The unteachable spirit can result from one of two things. It can be the result of pride, which does not know what it needs to know, and it can be the result of the fear of new truth and the refusal to adventure on the ways of thought. Sometimes an immoral character and a man's way of life can shut his mind. There may be truth which condemns the things he loves and which accuses the things he does, and many a man refuses to listen to or to recognize the truth which condemns him, for there are none so blind as those who deliberately do not see. I hope there's no one here with that kind of heart, the person who won't understand. You know, it's one thing to read Scripture or to hear Scripture read to us, or we hear a sermon and we don't understand it fully, but then to seek to ask questions and to seek to study and to dig deeper and to find out what it means, that's one thing to not understand the Word of God, but it's a whole different ballgame for the person who doesn't want to understand the Word of God, who refuses to understand the Word of God, who refuses to listen. This is the person who says, my way is the right way. I really don't care what God has to say. I hope there's not such a person here today. Dear God, please, please give us ears to hear. Give us a heart that will listen to your word. I can tell you for sure, the person who has a heart comparable to the pathway soil is in a very dangerous place spiritually and eternally. But there's a second kind of soil that Jesus mentions in his preaching. There's the rocky soil. Let me read to you Matthew 13, verses 20 and 21. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but it is only temporary, and when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And probably a lot of us have seen these kinds of people over the years if we've been around the church for very long. They make a decision for Jesus, but then they don't dig deep. They don't plant themselves into the Word of God. They don't connect with the church. They do the Lone Ranger thing, and I can tell you for sure that does not work. We have to be connected to each other. We need each other. And we have to root ourselves deeply into this book. Satan is not happy with a new believer. So guess what Satan's going to do with that new believer? He is going to attack, he's going to attack, and he'll attack again. He'll keep on attacking. And if we aren't ready for that kind of onslaught, then we can easily fall. Verse 6 talks about the sun beating down and scorching the plant that has a shallow root. Verse 21 equates the sun as affliction or persecution because of the word. You know, the Christian life is not easy. It's not an easy road. There is trouble along the way, and you've heard it said, you've heard me say this. that if you're not in trouble right now, if you're not in amidst a trial right now, you're either getting ready to go into one or you're just coming out of one. That's just the way life is. And Satan sees to that for sure, because he wants to have those trials be that which drag us down and take us away from our commitment to Jesus. And that's what Jesus is saying. If we don't dig ourselves deeply into him and into his word, then affliction comes. And it comes in a variety of ways. Trials. And if we aren't deep into Jesus, those trials can tear us away from our commitment to Jesus. He wants to discourage us. Satan does. He wants to derail us. He wants to destroy us. Let me read to you from the website Bible.org about this particular topic. When these people, speaking of the rocky soil kind of people, face pressure or bad circumstances, they quickly forget about God's word. A true believer follows Jesus no matter what. Some of the rocky people may be under the misunderstanding that God will take away all of their problems. Therefore, when problems arrive, they fall away. God's word never promises that life will be easy without any trials. He promises something far better. He promises that we will be, that he will be with us in our problems. He promises that everything will work together for our good, to become more godly and to bring glory to God. And so trials come, and sometimes persecution comes at us too. And Satan is behind that. Persecution because of the word, Jesus said. Satan wants to wear us down by how other people treat us. Please understand his tactic as well as his mission. He wants to destroy you. And that's why Jesus said through James chapter 4, verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So there is the hard wayside kind of soil. There's the rocky soil that we become a believer, and then the world comes against us and we fade away. Let me give to you a third kind of soil, the thorny soil. According to verse 22 of Matthew 13, this person hears the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word and makes it unfruitful. Let me read to you again from Barclay about this particular kind of soil. He says, there is the hearer who has so many interest in life that often the most important things get crowded out. It is characteristic of modern life that it becomes increasingly crowded and increasingly fast. Does that sound familiar? A man becomes too busy to pray. He becomes so preoccupied with many things that he forgets to study the Word of God. He can become so involved in committees and good works and charitable services that he leaves himself no time for him from whom all love and service come. His business can take such a grip on him that he's too tired to think of anything else. It's not the things which are obviously bad which are dangerous. It's the things which are good. For the second best is always the enemy of that which is best. It's not even that a man deliberately banishes prayer and the Bible and the church from his life. It can be that he often thinks of them and intends to make time for them, but somehow in his crowded life, he never gets around to it. We must be careful to see that Christ is not shouldered out of the topmost niche in life. We just sang a song a little bit ago. Christ, would you please be the center of my life? And Satan is battling us over that. He doesn't want Christ to be the center of our life. He wants all these other things to be the center of our life. And they may even be good things. And we get so tied up in the things of the world that Christ is just laid aside. And the worries of the world and the riches, the deceitfulness of riches, crowd out Jesus. That's the thorny soil. Do you know when that book was written that I just read to you? Barclay, 1957. And it was updated, it was edited in 1975. And I'm thinking, if life was fast and furious then, how fast and furious is it now? And I think every one of us here know exactly what I'm talking about, because it can get so fast and furious, and Jesus is laid aside. That's the thorny soil. If we're not careful, we can just crowd Jesus and his word out with the worries of this world, not to mention the deceitfulness of riches. Money can be used for the good, or it can absolutely corrupt as we are tempted to love it and love the things that money can buy rather than loving Jesus. I mean, money doesn't last. Only Jesus lasts, and his word lasts forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away, Jesus said. What are you chasing after? Are you chasing after that which is going to pass away, or are you chasing after him and his word, which lasts forever? There's a fourth soil, the good soil. That's verse 23. This is the heart that is fertile to receive the word of God. And once it is heard, once this book is heard, we act upon it. We listen and we obey. We seek to do what the word says. And the end result is this soil bears much fruit. And this soil produces fruit to the glory of God. This person's growing in his or her faith. They're serving and they're witnessing to the world and they're meeting needs. They are a living sacrifice for him. Now, I'm not in any way meaning to paint a picture that we're perfect and have it all together. But you know what? That's what we're to strive for. We're to strive towards Christ's likeness. We're to strive towards perfection. And it's his grace that covers our sins when we don't reach that perfection. But we are to strive to be the person who has a good soil. An openness in our heart, an openness in our ears and our mind, that when the Word of God is preached to us or we're reading from the Word in our daily devotionals, that we're hearing what He has to say and we're saying, Lord God, that's what I want to be. That's who I want to be. Will you help me? Will you help me strive for that? That's what's going to last. That's what's most important. You know what? We are the world's only hope. The world needs us because they need Jesus, and we have Jesus, and we have the message. It's through our testimony and through our bearing of fruit that the world will hear and understand who Jesus is. Do you have a heart that is receiving the word of God and bearing good fruit for him? This is the good soil. This is the soil that is growing spiritual fruit. And we all need to be having this kind of soil. Mark Moore, in his book, tells us about the different kinds of soils. And I thought this was just a good summary of what is being said today. He says, essentially, the soil is the same. The difference is what is added to the soil. Weed seed, rocks, or a good trampling. How do these differences come about? Through hearing. not the simple physiological performance of the ears, but the humble acceptance of the heart. The word of God must be obeyed and not just heard. In fact, in Hebrew culture, to hear also implied obedience. The soil is potentially good in each human heart. Did you hear that? The soil is potentially good in each person's heart. It depends upon our response to the word. How are we? Are we closing our ears to it? Do we have pride? Are we distracted with the chaos of the world? Or are we saying, Lord God, I want this. I want you. There's nothing else that I want more than you. Would you change me? Would you speak to me? He who has ears to hear, what? Let him hear. That's what Jesus meant by that statement. If you have ears, then hear. Let's pray together. I just want to ask you as we pray silently, would you just talk to God and say, Lord, I want to have good soil. I want to have a good hearing. If there's a need for repentance today, for the worries of the world and the riches that have been crowding out Jesus, then take care of that matter, my friend. Repent. Decide you're going to change. Maybe you haven't been digging deep and planting yourself into the Word and into Jesus. Repent. Nothing better could happen today for any of us than if we repented and said we were going to be different than what we were when we walked in these doors. God, thank you that you hear our prayers. Forgive me. So many times hearing your word and not doing anything with it. Help us to have good hearts, good soil, ears to hear. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your forgiveness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.